Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the looming question whether or not Governor Jan Brewer will veto a bill passed last Thursday in the Arizona legislature that allows businesses to deny services to LGBT customers on religious grounds. Stephen Lemons, a columnist for the Phoenix New Times, who covers Arizona politics, joins us to discuss the growing opposition to SB 1062 that sanctions bigotry in the name of religious liberty and could cost the state next year's Super Bowl. Then we'll examine the consequences of the Comcast-Time Warner mega-merger following a deal struck between Comcast and Netflix that could be a glimpse into the future of the Internet. Craig Aaron, the president of Free Press, joins us to discuss the intensifying struggle between content providers like Netflix and the owners of the conduit into the home as we face the prospect of a giant monopoly combining the two largest cable companies, free to charge more for less service as they dominate access to news, information, entertainment, and the Internet. Then finally, with Ukraine's ousted president on the lam and Russia's prime minister calling the new government in Kiev a bunch of armed mutineers, the author of a new book, Russians, The People Behind the Power, Gregory Pfeiffer, a former Moscow correspondent for National Public Radio, joins us to discuss growing tensions between Putin and the West, with Russian state media praising the arrest of 500 pro-democracy demonstrators in Moscow and St. Petersburg. We'll examine why an anti-Western posture helps Putin, even if it harms Russia. And joining us now is Stephen Lemons, who is a columnist for the Phoenix New Times, who follows Arizona politics. Some of the most in-depth reporting on Arizona politics can be found at his blog, Feathered Bastard, at phoenixnewtimes.com. Welcome to Background Briefing, Stephen Lemons.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And what's the latest on in looking into the mind of, indeed, if she has one, Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona?
Well, I think the veto is a foregone conclusion now. It's just a matter of when she will actually issue a veto. The opposition to 1062, Senate Bill 1062 is nearly, universal at this point, with, only some extremists, holding up the banner for it. And, a lot of business interests have weighed in very publicly asking her to veto it. One of her top advisors has gone public with the fact that he's advised her to veto it. So I think it's pretty much, it'll pretty much be over once she, actually pulls the trigger.
But when you say the whole state is against it and the business community is against it, how then did it pass both houses of the legislature?
Well, therein lies the rub. It's like the legislature doesn't always accurately reflect what the population wants, the voting population wants. The problem is we've had a Republican stronghold over the legislature for many years now, and the Republican primaries have become more important for determining who's going to be in the legislature than what happens in November with the general election. So, as in primaries elsewhere, you see, the extremists or more extreme elements demanding sort of like ideological purity, and that's kind of what has happened with, that's what's happened with Arizona and the Arizona legislature, and statewide. You get more moderate Republicans, say if you've Jeff Flake or John McCain, which by our standards would be moderate, or at least what I call sane versus insane. And the same will probably be true in the gubernatorial election. We'll probably have a fairly moderate Republican win, even though the Democrats may get an added boost from this controversy over 1062. But in the legislature, the extremists rule. They have a lot of power, and they're closely aligned with people like Kathy Herod of the Center for Arizona Policy, who's a you know, religious extremist, a bigot, and she has been very adept at wielding influence over the legislature. And she's not the only person like that, but there, these fringe elements, you know, they're not just fringe here. They're the, you know, in the Republican Party, they're the mainstream. That's why you saw a few weeks back the state Republican Party censuring Senator John McCain for not being right-wing enough, basically. So, you know, that that's kind of the situation we have, and it you know, it allowed for the rise of 1070 4 years ago, and, you know, they're passing crazy stuff all the time down the state legislature. The difference is, no, most people don't hear about it, you know, the other crazy stuff, because it doesn't have quite the impact that this had, that 1062 had. But there's other equally insane bills making its way through the legislature, and we're not finished with the legislature. It's just, you know, we're just still just a couple of months in. They've got a couple more months to go, and they have these things called striker bills, which they can pretty much put anything they want to in them. And at the last minute of the legislature, you'll see a lot of really just wacky ideas and insane right-wing lunacies being proffered as possible legislation. And, you know, when you have a Republican governor, it's possible she might sign some of it. So in this case, I don't think so, but that's not because she's particularly adept, but because the business community wields a lot of influence, obviously, and they've reacted very quickly to this bill, unlike in the past with 1070. They sort of dragged their heels with it.
Well, again, I'm speaking with Stephen Lemons, who is a columnist for the Phoenix New Times, who follows Arizona politics, and some of the most in-depth reporting on Arizona's politics can be found at his blog, Feathered Bastard, at phoenixnewtimes.com. Now, I remember once you told me we were talking about Governor Jan Brewer, who, when she was, I think, debating in a political debate when she was running for office, she couldn't remember her own policies. It was the most amazingly embarrassing display. And you sort of mentioned that she's as dumb as a box of hammers. I watched Anderson Cooper talking to Al Melvin, a state senator who supported this bill, that's basically sanctions bigotry in the name of religious freedom. He was unbelievably thick, and I just wonder, is this an anti-intellectual state? Do you really, is it a good thing for politicians to be dumb?
It depends on your district, you know. I mean, the district that Al Melvin represents is, you know, pretty right-wing or pretty red, and so it allows him to get away with his bumbling and his bigotry. You know, he's probably one of the most extreme, you know, right-wing members of the legislature. And, you know, there are a lot like him. You know, he's not, I wouldn't say he's an outlier or anything like that. He's not by, you know, he's well respected within the ranks of the Republican Party. So as far as being anti-intellectual, yeah, there is that extreme. It's not so much anti-intellectual as there's just a really deep strain of right-wing extremism. I mean, going back to the days of the John Birch Society, for instance. Before I moved here about 10 years ago, that was something I figured, you know, you only read about in books, you know, the John Birch Society. It's like, is that still around? You know, but when I came here, did I learn quickly that the John Birch Society is very much alive and well. And, you know, you'll meet there. They'll always have a table at the Republican Party meetings, and they will debate you on whether or not Eisenhower was a communist, and whether or not fluoride should be in the water, and all of these crazy things that you think date back to like 1950s America. Mm-hmm. And so this still has a strong, you know, hold over the state. And I don't, you know, you go back to like Ev Meekum and the fact that the state opposed the Martin Luther King holiday, and you know, so there's a tradition there. Mm-hmm. You could say that this is Al Melvin is in that tradition very much. So,
and, Al Melvin couldn't answer the question repeatedly from Anderson Cooper about the fact that Arizona's constitution does not ban discrimination against gays. It bans discrimination against race and I think and gender and a number of issues in the, you know, the whole panoply of discrimination. But it conspicuously it does not mention discrimination against people on the basis of sexual orientation. So Cooper kept trying to say, well, look, you know, you already, why do you need this law? Because already there's no protection against for discriminating against, same-sex people in your...
It was amusing watching him use reason and logic with someone like right. Melvin. I mean, you know, these are a lot of cases, there's a lot of tinfoil hattery and black helicopter sighting kind of things. You know, I mean, for instance, during the state, from the state Republican main state Republican meeting in January, they were trying to pass, and this was a very vigorous debate that happened on the floor of the state Republican meeting. They had a very vigorous debate over getting rid of the 17th Amendment, which or repealing it, and which is never going to happen. But the 17th Amendment is—I had to look it up. I didn't even know. I was like, "Oh, it's the direct election of senators."
Right, right.
They wanted to go back to
the railroad barons who bought all the legislatures.
Yeah. But like, why would anyone care about that anymore? And secondly, once you start to look into it, you realize that, you know, of course, who's going to argue against direct election of your senators? But this was a vigorous debate on the floor of the Senate. They have other things supporting the 10th Amendment, it's just on and on, you know, this sort of insanity. Recently, they passed out of one of the Senate committees. I don't know how far it'll get because it's been vetoed in the past, but this notion of recognizing gold and silver as legal tender. I mean, it's you get like this is the kind of stuff that regularly pops up. Another one is Common Core, which is a Common Core curricula that basically it's business and state governments are involved in trying to, you know, raise the standards of children who are being educated in, you know, K-12, and they regard Common Core, the extremists regard Common Core as being Obama Core, that's what they call it, and they think it's like some way of like manipulating young minds into becoming Marxists, you know. And there are actually bills that have been passed through committee in the state Senate which, you know, want to opt out of Common Core. So it's like, you know, it makes no sense. It's like it's illogical, but this is what you get when you're talking about the fringe of either party, really. I mean, you know, I'm not saying the Democrats don't have their fringe. They certainly do, but the problem is, you know, the thing is here, they don't have any power. They have zero power. So, you know, maybe if that changed and things were to flip, they might be running there. But, you know, you have a one-party state that's, you know, for this long with a carte blanche and a sort given to these people and the business community basically allowing this sort of, far-right, extremism to flourish, you know.
Except until now, apparently. They're putting their foot down. I mean, it's sort of
finally,
like the joke of Andy Borowitz is that Arizona's confronting the awkward realization that gay people have money and buy stuff.
Exactly. You know, money's not gay or straight, right?
Right. They beat up on the Latinos and now they're beating up on the gays and realize maybe they've gone one prejudice too far.
Yeah, they jumped the shark on this one, but, you know, I mean, that's the thing is, it wouldn't surprise me at all, even if she vetoes it, if they try to come back at the 11th hour of the legislature and try to pass something else that's very similar. So,
well, Stephen Lemons, I thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Sure, here. It's always fun.
Again, I've been speaking with Stephen Lemons, who's a columnist for the Phoenix New Times, who follows Arizona politics, and some of the most in-depth reporting on Arizona politics can be found at his blog, Feathered Bastard, at phoenixnewtimes.com. We're going to take a brief station break and be back looking into the growing tensions between Putin and the West.